Your work week is over.
You know that new sound you're looking for? Well, listen to this.
Kick back and get the latest on the Colts and the NFL. This is The Last Word, the off-season home of the Colts, with Jeffrey Gorman and Matt Taylor.
Welcome to The Last Word. A big thank you to John JMV for doing our warm-up act. Again, we appreciate you. We're brought to you by our friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. Download the app today and make every moment more. Matt Taylor, voice of the Colts, not here today. Before he left for vacation, he did have a chance to catch up with the Colts wide receiver, Paris Campbell. So we'll bring you that in a little bit. So filling in for the voice of the Colts, Mate, we got the man himself. He's got a lot of information. I'm going to be picking his brain the entire show. Casey Valier, usually on the ones and twos, but I'll tell you what, he knows his football team inside out. Case, I'm glad you're here today.
I'm glad I'm here, Gorman, and I got to admit, it's good to see you.
Yes, it's been a minute.
I honestly don't know. The last time I saw you was, what, the draft?
Yeah, sure.
So, I mean, we've been talking remotely, but it is really good to see you in person. And I'm sure after this show, I probably won't see you for another 3 months because you're probably the busiest man I know.
I run in shadows sometimes, Case, and sometimes I reappear. I surface here and there, but we are back. Hey, I want to let you know there's going to be a very special VIP in studio with us at the last portion of the show, so stick around. I am bringing an MVP type of a guy in here who's also part of our Forum Credit Union question of the week. So stay tuned for that. Let's get you caught up on the latest in Colts land. Obviously, earlier today, the Colts are officially off the field until they come back to Grand Park up in Westfield, and that's at the end of July. But it is winding up this week. All the on-field training activities that were had are now come to a close. The guys will sit back and go fishing and play some golf for a few weeks, and then it will be for real. But this Colts roster will be minus one veteran when that training camp opens earlier in the week. Kari Willis, the Colts safety out of Michigan State, has announced his retirement this week. He said, I'm done. I'm retiring from the game of football. I've got other things going on in my life and other visions and goals that he wants to do during his three seasons with the Colts. He played in 39 games. He had 33 starts, Casey. Think about that. A guy, a mid-round pick coming out of Michigan State, 39 total NFL games, and 33 of them he started. He had 214 tackles, 3.5 sacks, 7 tackles for loss. He had 4 interceptions, with one of them returned for a TD, and he had 11 passes defensed in his career. Casey, very quickly, what does this do for the Colts defense? No Matt Eberflus, Gus Bradley in, Kari Willis no longer part of it. What's that do for the safety position group?
I mean, it's definitely big shoes to fill because Kari has just been kind of that steady guy in the backfield for the last 3 years. I mean, he's been one of those guys that, you know, he was drafted and you weren't really sure what role he was going to be, and early on he kind of found that role and stayed there. I mean, he's battled through some injuries. I know last year was, you know, the least games he's played in his career in just 11 games played, spent some time on the IR, and it's one of those things that you noticed when he was not on the field. So that is definitely going to be big shoes to fill. And he's one of those guys that, you know, he wasn't very vocal, but he just kind of led, you know, by his play, and that's going to be something that's going to be tough to fill for sure. I know there was a lot of speculation when the Colts brought in Rodney McLeod, a guy who is a proven veteran. You know, you thought, oh, wow, they're just adding competition, and they drafted a guy like Nick Cross.
To get Nick
Cross. Yeah, so there were some things that, you know, definitely you see this now, and you're like, okay, that might have been part of the reason this all is kind of coming to fruition. But, you know, it's one of those things, looking at what Kari said, how he's going to kind of continue his life into ministry, it's perfect. You know, you think about the guy who he was, you know, coached by for the last 3 years in Frank Reich, who also has a bit of that in his past. It makes total sense. I'm sure Frank is going to help Kari in whatever his, you know, his next path is. And I'm really happy for him. You look at that, and it sounds like he's kind of got his mind made up on what he wants to do. So you tip your cap to Kari. You're definitely going to miss him on the field, but, you know, wish him nothing but the best.
A real nice career in the NFL, a leader right from day one. He had that sort of energy. He has that sort of personality. He leads by example, not a big talker, but veterans included and rookies, drawn to him in his right. side of the locker room. They listen when he talks. Kari Willis is a leader. He's an alpha dog. He's Absolutely. A leader. And whatever he's going into after his life in the NFL, it will be a success. So we applaud you. We thank you for the services. And it was fun watching you work, number 37. Best of luck to Kari Willis. Okay, coming up on tonight's show, we're going to break down the Colts' burning questions at the wide receiver and tight end position. And I've got a couple of stories on some tight ends coming up for you, Casey Bell, on this roster. All right, well, we're going to look surrounding Matt Ryan on offense next season, the weapons that he has. We're also going to hear from wide receiver, as I said earlier. Paris Campbell will drop by and say hello. He's going to catch up with Matt Taylor, the voice of the Colts, and talk about this upcoming season, which, let's not forget, it's a contract year for Paris Campbell. But, Casey, let's start with that position group, the wide receivers. Camp's about a month and a half away, okay? We're going to answer a series of burning questions leading up to the opening of camp. And the position group we're talking about today, boom, those wide receivers. Casey, Michael Pittman Jr., is he a number one wide receiver in the NFL? On this team, I get it. But in the NFL, people are asking this online. Is he a number one wide receiver in the NFL? What can he accomplish, Casey, after doubling his receiving yards from year one to year two with the Colts? And if that's the transition that he's on, that is a Pro Bowl player, Casey.
I think one of those things, when you talk about number one receiver, it kind of depends on the team. So, you know, you look at some number one receivers and you've got guys that are catching 120 passes, you know, almost 2,000 yards. Let's say Cooper Kupp. I mean, you look at those numbers and you're like, clear cut number one. But one of the ways that I look at it is you look at what Michael Pittman did last year, and he proved in the big moments he can kind of take that pressure and be a guy that is cool, calm. That is what a number one receiver is in my eyes, a guy that, you know, he may not have the huge numbers, and ultimately I don't think in this offense he has to, but I think he's that guy when you need a play, you can go to. That's what I think a number one receiver is, and I think Michael Pittman showed that last year, that he can take on and carry a little bit more weight within the offense. I mean, doubling his production on essentially every statistic from his rookie year into year two was a huge jump. But like I mentioned, I don't think as far as, you know, what can he accomplish this year to maybe look at it as a success, I honestly don't think it has to be something where he has to have more receptions, more receiving yards, and more touchdowns. I just think when it comes to it, when you look at the pivotal moments throughout the year, you're going to talk about Michael Pittman, and I think that is how he makes more of an impact. And I also just think with Matt Ryan, you're going to see the ball moved around a lot more, so therefore you look at production and things might be a little down, but I want to look at that, you know, the big plays, you know, maybe the touchdowns in the red zone or his yards after catch. Those are the kind of numbers that I'm going to be looking for in year three for Pittman to kind of say whether or not he took another step in his growth.
Love those yards after catch out of Pittman. He reminds me of his papa, Michael Pittman.
Right, yeah.
Senior,
he runs
who
hard.
Is a punishing running back in the NFL, but his son puts his head down, tucks the ball in, and goes. Yes, I think Michael Pittman will be a huge factor in the Colts' offense this season. We're going to hear from Paris Campbell coming up in a minute, but Case, real quick, health always comes into concern with Paris Campbell. He hasn't been able to put together a full season without, you know, coming up with injury. So obviously, that's out of our control. But saying he is healthy, which he looks to be, does Paris Campbell have an eruption in production on the field this season?
I think you hope so because, you know, we talk about, you know, health is completely out of our control and you listen to the guy talk and you really hope that he can, you know, kind of get out of that cloud. I mean, it's one of those things where they're all freak injuries. They aren't the soft tissue stuff where it's like, you know, you keep it, they're freak injuries. So when you look at it from that aspect, you really hope so, and you watch him on the field and you see all the things that he can do because he is truly a dynamic player. He's got speed that not most people have. He's got, you know, he's maybe not the biggest guy, but you look at him out there and he looks bigger than what his size shows on a piece of paper. So there's a lot of tangible things that he can do that not most can. So you really hope he can stay on the field because if he can, he adds a different weapon in this offense that really makes everybody else so much better.
He's healthy, he's a factor.
Oh, absolutely.
End of story, that's where that chapter ends. If he's healthy, he's a factor. Case, the expectations for the rookie, Alec Pierce.
That's a great one. I think one of those things where if you look at what Michael Pittman did as a rookie, I think he had 40 receptions for about 500 yards. If you pencil Alec Pierce with those numbers, I think you look at that and you go, absolutely, it's a success. People look at receivers differently kind of year in and year out. The last handful of years, it's been, wow, these young guys are coming in and they're making an impact right now. When you look at those, you know, whether it's Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, these guys, they made huge impacts. But there's also a handful of other guys that made big impacts, maybe not to that level. We talked about Paris Campbell. We talk about Michael Pittman Jr. We talk about a guy in Nyheim Hines who we all think is going to be a big in the pass game. So when you look at those three guys, I think you kind of put them atop of Alec Pierce on the depth chart right now. So I think if Alec Pierce isn't asked to do too much, he just kind of goes out and uses his skill set the way he can. You get him just like we talked about with Michael Pittman and those yards after catch. He's got explosive speed to get him in space. I think if he goes out and has a very similar year to what Michael Pittman had as a rookie, you look at that and you go, very, very pleased with his rookie year.
Big explosion yards after catch as well coming from Alec Pierce. You mentioned Nyheim Hines. Is he playing wide receiver more this upcoming season? Maybe as the slot guy, or are the Colts needing to sign a veteran, another veteran wide receiver to round out this crew?
I think that's a loaded question because I think it's yes and no. I think you can never have too many wideouts. You can never have too many veterans inside a room. And when I look at Nyheim Hines, I think, yeah, because he's going to be more involved in the pass game, it might limit that need for a veteran, but also at the end of the day, he is your number two running back. So there's going to be roles that he and duties that he's going to have as that running back. We saw it in the hurry up offense. That's where he shines. So there's going to be opportunities where there's going to be a need for somebody to kind of fill that role. If he is playing wide receiver, when he slides into that running back spot, there's an opening. So I look at it as, you maybe not absolutely have to have a veteran, but I'm never going to say you don't need one.
No
so
kidding.
It's hard for me to really give you a definite answer. I think Nyheim Hines is going to at best he's going to limit that glaring need that you might have, but I always think you can add somebody. And I mean, it's very early in the process. We've got a couple months before camp starts, so there could be an opportunity where a veteran is definitely needed.
No clue on how many Colts wide receivers the Colts will have on that 53-man roster. Don't know. Sometimes it's five, sometimes it's six, sometimes it's seven. Who knows, Casey? But I will say this. Ashton Doolin, Desmond Patman, Michael Strong, those guys have to make this team and have to have one heck of a camp, so all eyes are going to be on that, and I really love what Ashton Doolin's doing. I think if there is a breakout wide receiver
Agreed.
Of this group, I think it's Ashton Doolin. He has superior speed. He's a big man with elite cheetah-like speed, too. So it's like, I'm fired up to watch and see what Ashton Doolin's going to end up doing. But, Case, how many wide receivers do you think they're going to keep on this roster in Grand Park?
I think they continue the trend. I know the last couple years they went six in 19 and 20, and then they had seven last year. I think six is probably your good number, but you bring up those guys on that tail end. You've got Pittman 1, Campbell 2, Pierce, Doolin, there's four, but then you've got, if it's six, you've got two spots with, you know, guys like Desmond Patman, Michael Strawn, right. DeMichael Harris, right. Kiki QT. So it's going to be a camp battle. We're always watching. It's definitely going to be another one here in 2022. We're definitely going to keep our eyes on.
That will definitely be a battle to watch, and who makes this roster into Grand Park at the end of July when the Colts open training camp. We're going to get you ready for that week in and week out right here on The Last Word. A nice reminder, registration for the 10th annual Indianapolis Colts 5K Run Walk, presented by Indiana University Health and sponsored in part by WTTV, TVCBS, and Meijer. It is now open. All in-person events will take place at Lucas Oil Stadium on Saturday, August 27th. Write that down. Saturday, August 27th, the Colts 5K Run Walk. Participants are going to finish on the 50-yard line at Lucas Oil Stadium. They'll enjoy a post-race celebration. They're also receiving a T-shirt, a medal, and a ticket to the Colts home preseason game versus Tampa Bay that evening. That's right. Tom Brady and the Bucks coming in that evening. If you register to do the Colts 5K Run Walk, you get a free ticket. More info and to register, it's simple. Log on to Colts5K.com. When we come back, we're going to hear from the Colts wide receiver Paris Campbell on how his offseason workout program went and how excited he is for his fourth season in Indianapolis now that he's fully healthy and ready to roll in training camp. This is The Last Word. Casey Vallier is in for Matt Taylor. I am Jeffrey Gorman. Man, we're coming back with more right here on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
If you can't get enough Colts talk, this is the show for you. This is The Last Word, the off-season home of the Colts.
Welcome back. Casey Vallier here. I am Jeffrey Gorman. We are The Last Word here on 93.5, 107.5 The Fan. Brought to you by our friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. Download the app today. You make every moment more. And don't forget, download the Colts weekly official podcast featuring the latest news, analysis, insight, and interviews regarding your Colts. You'll hear Casey Vallier, Matt Taylor, Lara Overton, J.J. Stankovitz. Sometimes I even pop up on that thing, Casey, if I'm in town and ready to work on the Colts Colts podcast.
You're in town now, but you missed it this week.
I did miss it this week. It's easy. Just check it out right now. Go to Colts.com, the Colts mobile app, and the Colts Audio Network. Anywhere you download your podcast, you will hear from us. Okay, earlier this offseason, Maytay, the voice of the Colts, he went one-on-one with Colts wide receiver Paris Campbell. And they started with the fact that Paris is already heading into his fourth season with the Colts, and he's looking for that breakout year.
It's flown by, I'll tell you that much. And it's crazy because I just talked to my family about that whole thing, like going into year four. Like, you know, who would have ever thought, you know, that I'd be 4 years in the NFL? It's crazy, but it's a blessing.
Indeed, indeed it is. How has the offseason gone for you? You're back, you're healthy, you're flying around making plays. What's this feeling like?
Yeah, man, it's good. It's feeling good. You know, I've been through a lot, dealt with a lot, but to, you know, finally be healthy and had a clean offseason, and it's feeling good. And, you know, I'm just in a spot right now where I'm kind of like proud of myself of everything that I've been through and just continuing to bounce back. And
right.
So I'm locked in, I'm focused, but I'm just glad to be back.
Talk about Matt Ryan a little bit. New quarterback. We just said, you know, 4 years in the NFL, four different quarterbacks. What do you think of the experience of Matt Ryan and how he can complement you as a player?
Yeah, first of all, I love Matt. You know, as soon as we signed Matt, texted him right off the bat. He hit me back the same day, and like just his energy and the, you know, just his vibe that he brings to the team, and it's great. The leader that he is. We've been working out already, and obviously in the offseason, but just his attention to detail, his leadership, mm-hmm. like his veteranness, like you can feel that, you know, on the field working out with him, you can feel it just talking to him. So I think he's going to be, you know, a huge boost for us. But, you know, obviously still getting annoying, but love him from first initial.
Yeah, always like asking skill guys, someone like yourself, these last 4 years, how tough has it been on you, the rotating cast of quarterbacks that you've had to play with? How challenging is that on you to learn them and the subtleties in their game to complement you as a wide receiver?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, 4 years, four different quarterbacks. Like, it's I want to say it's easy, but it's not, because, you know, everyone throws the ball a little bit different.
Right.
Everyone wants a route run a little bit different, and some have more attention to detail than others and the little things. And I would say that about Matt. Like, he's super locked in on the attention to detail. Like, that's him. And he's all about, you know, knowing the basics inside and out. And you know, he's a guy, like, if you know the basics really well and you do it really well, then we can win with the basics. We don't need to do anything crazy. We don't mm-hmm. need any exotics. Like, let's just be really, really good at the basics, and, you know, we'll just score as many points as we want. So it's been fun getting to learn him, and I think this season is going to be pretty fun.
Yeah, he's got 14 years in the NFL, right? I mean, former MVP, guy that's played in the Super Bowl, has led the NFL in passing, all of those things. But, you know, he's coming in, he's learning a new system as well, learning Frank Reich as the play caller. But he's not – it's not as if he's like, it's my way or the highway, right? I mean, he's a little bit loose in terms of, here's how I've done it, but mm-hmm. also I'm open to if this is what makes you more comfortable in this route or this play, he's open to that as well.
Absolutely. He's like, I mean, you said it right there. Like, he's not in here trying to, you know, take over and, oh, this is the way I do it and this is the way it's going to get done. Like, mm-hmm. He's learning Frank. He's learning Marcus. He's learning the Colts way.
Right.
And he's just, you know, he's throwing his spin on it. And obviously, I mean, he's a 14-year veteran. And, you know, he's at the highest level, won MVP. Like,
right.
His opinion matters, too. So what he brings to the table is just going to make us that much better.
And traditionally, he's a quarterback that's reading defenses very well, pretty fast, getting rid of the football. Mm-hmm. How does that help you and your player, your speed,
oh, yeah.
you know, your yak and what you can do in space with the football in hand?
Yeah, he's already said it. Like, you know, he's obviously the whole offense and everyone in the staff knows he's all about quick game, and he wants to get the ball in the receiver's hands as mm-hmm. fast as he can so we can make plays. And I just think that's going to take me a long way, because people know about my game. I'm really a run after catch receiver. Get the mm-hmm. ball in my hands, I can make a play. So I think it's just, you know, it's going to balance out there, and I think it's going to be good for me and Matt.
Now, going back to last year, you caught that 51-yard touchdown pass against Houston. Mm-hmm. Biggest play of your young career.
Yeah.
You know, score a touchdown, huge division game, crowds going wild there at Lucas Oil Stadium. And on the play, you suffer that broken foot. Yeah. What was going through your mind? You scored. You're so high. I'm sure your body's just pumping full of adrenaline. Yeah. But then you realize after you get up that you've got another injury. Like, how was that to compartmentalize?
Yeah. To be honest, it's tough. And, you know, you're not the first person to ask that question just because, you know, people like to get, you know, inside my head and kind of see, you know, how I've viewed everything. But honestly, just specifically about that play, like, catching that touchdown, like, everything had came to fruition from the past because rookie year, like, I had three different surgeries, and second year, I tore my MCL, PCL, mm-hmm. and out for the year. So, like, everything that I had gone through and all the work that I put in was coming to fruition just because I was starting to get back, like, in the swing of things. I was feeling comfortable, and, you know, obviously, leading up to that touchdown, everything was going good.
Right.
So, like, it was like a confidence thing for me. Like, you know, I'm like, all right, I made it back. Like, I made it through all that stuff. I can continue to get better and keep pushing and keep going. Mm-hmm. And then, like, that was like, that feeling was probably for like 1.5 seconds.
Yeah,
and
like, I know.
Yeah, like, so I got up and I'm like, basically I'm in my head, I'm like, not again. You know what I mean? And, but the thing about this past injury compared to my year two injury, the knee, mm-hmm. Like, I was just so much in a better spot. Like, after my knee, like, I was really down in the dumps. Like, I was like, man, like, am I going to be able to shake back from this? I'm going to be able to come back. Like, when I broke my foot, like, there was no doubt in my mind. I'm like, I've been through so much. This is just another thing that I got to get through. And who knows why it happened, but it happened for a reason. And I had no doubt in my mind that I would be back.
Is that just because going through the knee injury was tougher in terms of rehab? So, hey, if I can get through that, this is cake.
100%. Like, going through that knee, like, a lot of people don't know, like, because, I mean, you just see me one day get hurt, the next day I'm back. Like, that was probably the toughest time of my life, like, 100%. And, like, it was days where, like, I didn't even want to go to rehab cause, just because it was so hard. Like, and for, like, 3 months, I didn't even see progress. Like, I couldn't really bend my knee a whole lot. Like, it was tough. So, yeah, like, getting through that and bouncing back and being able to play again, like, no matter what comes my way, like, I know I'm going to be fine.
But as soon as, I mean, if it's me out there, I mean, a normal person, which you're not a normal person, and I mean that both physically and mentally, you know, going through what you had to go through, if it was me and I had that foot injury when I scored a touchdown, I mean, I'm going into a dark place, and you can see it on your face. Your attitude is great. It's always upbeat. You're a very optimistic person, both in reality and social media.
Yeah.
Where does that come from for you? Because you've been through a lot, but you wouldn't know it based on how you how you carry yourself.
Yeah, honestly, man, number one, it comes from my faith. You know, a lot of people don't like to talk about faith, but I'm a firm believer in God, and, you know, I believe that, like I said, everything happens for a reason, and you go through stuff. But, like, that's what I relied on through all that stuff, you know what I mean? And that's what got me through, and that's what kept me positive, even when I didn't want to be positive, and that's what keeps me positive to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And then, obviously, relying on my family, like, them backing me and supporting me, like, through it all, like, the lowest times, and, you know, they, I'm sure it was hard on them, too, like, all the surgeries that I dealt with. So,
sure.
Those two things is what got me through, and that's continually what gets me through day to day.
That's Paris Campbell with us, Colts wide receiver. Paris, are there parts of your game that the fan base hasn't been able to see yet because of just all the junk that's gotten in your way? I feel like the ceiling for you is so much higher than what we've been able to witness, you know, firsthand when you've been on the field.
100%. And not a day goes by where I don't think about me. Like, I think about myself as a player and what I'm capable of every single day, and I know what I'm working for every single day.
Right.
And, like, obviously, you know, I've made some plays here or whatnot, but, like, I just feel like my ability to, you know, get the ball in my hands and, like, from there I turn into a playmaker, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? And, like I'm an explosive guy. Like, I'm not cocky or I'm not trying to brag or anything, but, like I'm so confident in myself when the ball's in my hand that I can make a play that a lot of people, like, can't, you know what I mean? And I just feel like that side of my game, you know, Colts fans and us, like, we haven't been able to see that just because of everything I've dealt with. But nevertheless, like, everything's going to come to fruition. I know it for a fact.
And you're lighting up right now. I mean, I can see it, right? I mean, with that, how hungry are you for this upcoming season, both personally, but then also team-wise after what happened at the end of last season?
Yeah, personally, I'm more hungry than I've ever been. Like, this is year four. this is contract year for me. This is a big year not only for myself but for my family. And I'm going to do everything I can to help this team. And obviously, you know, from a team aspect, like we've accomplished so much, like individually as a team. Like we've had guys, you know, go to Pro Bowl, right. All Pro, all this stuff. But like collectively, we haven't done anything. At least for the time that I've been here. Yeah, we had a couple of playoff appearances, wild cards, whatever. But like, right. We need to. The talent on this team, like the team ceiling is so high. You know what I mean? Like we have all the right pieces. We just got to make it work. And not only myself, but I know every single guy in that locker room is hungry, you know, to do something great and be special.
No doubt about that. That's Paris Campbell with us. Final couple of things, Paris. What do you make of, as we said, you're a veteran now going into year number four. What do you make of the young core of wide receivers on this team? Ashton Doolin, Mike Strawn, Desmond Patman. Yeah. What do you make of those guys? The Colts are asking for more from that group. You obviously think they're ready for more.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I'm a little prideful about this because, you know, those are my guys and I know how hard they work. We really don't get enough respect around the league. And just, like, the time and the effort that we put in as a group, like, me, Pitt, Ashton, Dez, like, D-Mike, like, we put in so much work. Like, every day after practice, like, we're catching jugs, we're watching extra film, people don't see that, you know what I mean? And these guys are talented. Like I think their talent gets overlooked. I think everything about our room gets overlooked. Like you hear it in the media all the time, like, oh, they need this guy, they need that guy. Like, no, we don't. Like, we're fine. Like, we're good. Trust me. It's just all gotta be put together.
So all the sports talk radio, hey, gotta add a veteran receiver, gotta do this, gotta do that. You guys hear that and
absolutely.
You take notice of it, right?
I mean, as a group, like, we take that personal, you know what I mean? Like, cause first of all, like, every single one of us is a competitor. If you're not a competitor, you don't belong. You know what I'm saying? So from Jump Street, like, we love to compete. And it's all about getting better in that room. You know what I mean? Like, we know, like, the ceiling for us as a group is what it is. Like, it's high. Like, we have a lot of talent. We have a lot of guys that can do a lot of different things. Got a lot of different size receivers, big, strong, fast, whatever it is. Like I don't know, man. But, like, I get chills thinking about it. But, like, we're just so hungry. Like, we're so hungry. And, like, hearing all the negative talk, like, that just adds more hungerness to us. Like, it's not even pressure. We're just hungry. Like, we just want to go ball out for each other.
That's Paris Campbell with us. Early impressions of Alec Pierce. I left him out of that group, but, you know, coming into the second round out of Cincinnati, what do you make of what he can do physically?
Man, I love him. I think physically he's a freak. You know, he's about, what, 6'4", able to get in and out of his breaks, run routes, catches the ball really well, makes a contested catch. Like, I watched him, believe it or not, like, going through Cincinnati, because when they played Ohio State 3 years ago, like, I saw him and he stood out to me. And so, like, when we drafted him, like, I was super excited, man, because he's going to be a great add to this team. I think he's dominant down the field. Big plays, like I said, contested catches all over the field, man. I think he's going to be a great ad.
No question about it. All right, last thing, the schedule's out.
Yeah.
You know, five of the first seven games inside the AFC South. How much urgency is there, even this time of year in the offseason, you guys talking about, hey, we have to put our best foot forward this upcoming season, because if we don't, we could be behind the eight ball.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, Frank talked about it as soon as the schedule released, like we got to be ready. And his thing right now is kind of, you know, right now we're the Colts 1.0, but we need to be 2.0 before we get to training camp. You know what I mean? We don't want to be behind the eight ball. So we got to make sure we're doing everything possible. You know, everybody's in their books, making sure we're on the details. So that way when we get to training camp, we're not missing a beat, man. We got to prepare now. We got to get ready now. Because these first 7 weeks are tough. So we got a chance to either set ourselves up and be in a great position or, you know, we got to dig our way out of a hole. Yeah. And definitely don't want to be there. So everybody's all in on that, man.
And everything matters this time of year,
absolutely.
Training camp. That's Paris Campbell, man. Thanks so much for the time.
Absolutely.
You're always a great interview.
I appreciate it.
And again, respect your attitude and just hoping for a monster season out of
appreciate
you coming
it.
Up here in 2022. Thanks for the time. Enjoy your summer.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Great young man right there in Paris Campbell. Obviously not getting the best cards dealt to him in his first couple, three seasons in the NFL with injury. But if that cat is healthy, Casey, if that speed merchant, if that cheetah himself is healthy, look out. It's a mismatch in the open field with the ball in his hands.
Absolutely. I mean, he's one of those guys that, I mean, you listen to him and he's had to overcome some serious adversity.
Sure.
And I, you know, I tip my cap to him because if it was me, I'd probably be down in the dumps and sulking because I don't, you know, why not, right? But, I mean, you really pull for a guy like Paris, and I really hope that the cards play out a little differently this year just because there's a lot that we haven't seen.
Yep.
We don't know too much about this guy because he hasn't been able to be on the field enough to show us. But, I mean, I remember when they drafted him, they were very, very high on a lot of the stuff that Paris can offer. So if we can see that on full display, I think a lot of fans will be buying those number one jerseys.
And a great football player on the field, a better person off the field. I really like Paris Campbell, and our fingers are crossed. A hugely successful year. Knock on wood. Stay healthy. After this quick timeout, we're going to give you the Forum Credit Union question of the week, and we're staying with the wide receiver theme, and we will bring the answer to the Forum Credit Union question of the week into this studio to talk about it. What we're talking about, Casey? The question is about rookie receiver impacts in the past as far as yardage goes as a rookie. We're going to bust out the NFL grab bag also. We're going to close out this show and do it in a cool fashion with this raging heat outside. I'm Gorman, joined by Casey Vallier. Big thanks to Matt Taylor catching up with Paris Campbell earlier. We're the last word right here on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
Welcome back to The Last Word, the off-season radio home of the Indianapolis Colts.
Welcome back to The Last Word, 93.5, 107.5, The Fan. Reminder, single game tickets for the Colts 2022 home games at Lucas Oil Stadium. They are on sale now. Don't miss on regular season matchups. You got the AFC usual, AFC South rivals are coming in. But get this, the Chiefs, the Steelers, the Chargers, the Eagles, and the Washington Commanders. They are coming into town. You can get your tickets.
Washington. You sound like you're from Southern Indiana.
Had to use the toilet in Washington.
You know, I got to be honest. My mother is from Ligoti, Indiana, and down there they have ice boxes, no refrigerators, and they're right by Washington, Indiana.
My father still uses the term turlet.
Toilet.
So anyway, yeah, those Washington Commanders are coming in. Don't forget, you can get your tickets. Head to Colts.com/tickets or Ticketmaster.com. Now a special edition of the Forum Credit Union question of the week. Listen up, Casey, get your thinking cap on, because I need an answer. Colts rookie wide receiver Alec Pierce is hoping for a big year right out of the gate. Just 9 Colts rookies have finished with at least 500 yards in receptions in their rookie campaign, and only one Colts receiver, again, I'll say this, only one of all the great receivers that we've had here, only one was able to reach 1,000 or more yards. Who is that rookie wide receiver, Casey Vallier? And go down the list of the Colts' great receivers here, and it's kind of a, it's sort of easy because the man I'm talking about is revered here in the state of Indiana and in Indianapolis, and I'll explain in a minute. Casey, what's your guess?
Well, I'm going to cheat on this one just because that man is actually present in the room.
He just walked in.
We're joined by greatness, and the answer is Bill Brooks.
That's right.
He's in the Ring of Honor. Yep. It makes sense. So, Bill, congratulations on that note.
How about that?
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Hold on. Now, Bill works in our front office here, and I had said, hey, Bill, I want you to come down to the studio, say hi to us, because you're part of our Forum Credit Union question of the week trivia question. And he's like, well, what is it? And I told him, he said, oh, boy. I said, I'm not coming down there. I said, Bill, come on down there right now. So, Bill, what I'm thinking is to have a better rookie campaign than the greats like Marvin Harrison, a Hall of Famer, a soon-to-be Hall of Famer like Reggie Wayne, what was that year for you like? You're a fourth rounder, Bill Brooks. You're coming in from Boston University just trying to make this football team. And then all of a sudden, you know, 2 months later, you're the main cog of the offense. How was that for a rookie?
It was a whirlwind, actually. The first year I was here in Indianapolis playing for the Colts, it was when you first come into camp, you're just trying to make the team.
Sure.
You just want to make the team any way you can as far as a special teams player. You know, I was on a gunner on the punt team. I was on a kickoff return team. I was on the kickoff coverage team. So I was all those special team positions. I just was trying to make the team somehow, some way to be on the team. Wasn't thinking about playing a lot in the offense. I would love to have course, played a lot in the offense. That's my thought process going into camp.
Sure.
But just to make the team, that's all I wanted to do.
Incredible, though. Think about that. Again, Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne. We can go back even further with the great receivers and one rookie receiver. Your quarterback that year, really quick, who was it? How'd you get on the same page?
Gee, at first it was Gary Hogan. Gary Hogan got hurt. Then after that was Jack Trudeau.
Jack Trudeau
finished out the year 1986 as far as our quarterback.
Awesome, man. What a great year, great rookie year, and a great Colts career. And again, a member of the Colts Ring of Honor, one of the best and in the Colts front office now. Bill Brooks, the fourth round pick in 1986, the only one to reach 1,000 yards as a rookie. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe your record will be broken this year.
I hope
by Alec
so. I hope Alec does break that record. He's a great, great guy, great man, great athletic ability. Runs good routes, has great hands. I thought he had great hands. Watching him in minicamp, did a nice job catching the ball. So hopefully he does. That means if he's breaking that record, that means the Colts are winning and are playing very well.
Bill, I know you want to get out of here. You don't like talking about yourself, but I will say one more really quick. Reggie Wayne, as a wide receiver coach, a Hall of Famer. Those guys, we talked about this with Peyton. Could Peyton ever be a good coach? You know, it's like the great ones like that. They're trying to preach what they know, and the guys can't do it at their level. It's the same thing with Reggie, you think?
I think Reggie can be a great coach. You just have to understand that those guys aren't him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
They understand what they do well, and what they don't do well, and actually work with those guys to help them improve on the skills that they need improvement on.
And I'm glad you said that, Bill, because that's one of the things that Reggie has said to the media a handful of times, that Chris has come over and said, hey, look, none of these guys are 87. You got to remember that none of these guys are 87. So some of the things you could do, you got to remember that they aren't you. And that's a really good point that you make, Bill, that, you know, we all agree that Reggie is a wealth of knowledge. He can give you all kinds of, he can look at anything, and he's been there and done that. So he has all the tools to be a good coach, but I think that is one of the keys to remember that, you know, not these guys are 87.
Reggie's good, but he ain't no Bill Brooks.
Oh,
1,131 yards your rookie season. That's
Reggie
all I'm saying.
Reggie is 100 times better than a Bill Brooks, believe me.
I'll tell you what, though, Bill Brooks, and folks, you see Bill around town, and of course at the Colts games, he's part of the Colts front office. He looks like that he could still turn in 80 catches for 1,100 yards right now. Right now, Bill Brooks.
No, clothes hide a lot of stuff.
And he still strokes the golf ball. Bill Brooks, a big appreciation. Colts fans love you, and I appreciate you coming in here and saying hi.
Thank you for having me.
The great one, the answer himself, Bill Brooks, the fourth-round pick in 86. Again, 1,131 yards. Colts have been blessed with the great receivers. Visit the Forum Credit Union fan forum section of Colts.com. You can interact with other fans online, post a topic, participate in various discussions regarding your Colts. Forum Credit Union, helping members live their financial dreams. A great big thank you to Bill Brooks. Time now to bust out the grab bag. Let's close out the show.
It's time for the NFL grab bag, an assorted look at what's going on in the NFL.
Okay, here we go. The NFL grab bag brought to you by our friends at Meijer. Meijer, the official super center of your Indianapolis Colts and proud sponsor of hundreds of local sports teams across the Midwest. First up, Tyreek Hill praising Tua. What are we doing? In the debut of his podcast, it needed to be said, Tyreek Hill stated that Patrick Mahomes has the stronger arm, but as far as accuracy-wise goes, he is going with Tua Tagovailoa all day. Mahomes had the fifth-best quarterback rating in the league last year at 62.2%, and Tua finished with a 49.7, which was 18th. Tua did complete 67.8 of his passes compared to Mahomes' 66.3. But do you agree, Casey Valier, with what I'm hearing from Tyreek Hill, talking about a Super Bowl champion, a once-in-a-lifetime quarterback in Patrick Mahomes, comparing it to a guy with a lot of talent coming out, but just hasn't shown it yet on the field?
I think it's one of those things that he's just saying the things that he has to say because he's in Miami now. I think if, let's say, Patrick Mahomes joined him in Miami, I don't think these same things would be said
right.
Oh, well, you know, Tua's a good quarterback, and he would have done well here, and I would have preferred his accuracy over, you know, Patrick Mahomes. I don't know. Did you listen to the podcast?
I just heard the splices of it that turned out that he said it.
He said it, but it also sounded like a podcast. They were, like, in the middle of a zoo.
I know,
like, there were,
still,
like, kids in the background. Like, it was very strange.
It needed to be said.
And I don't think that needed to be said.
That's what
so
I'm saying.
So it really doesn't make any sense that that's the name of the podcast.
Again, you can check it out. Tyreek Hill has a new podcast. It needed to be said, and he said it. I'm not telling anybody on the other team what to do, but I'm just saying take the high road sometimes,
yeah.
brother. You got a good one.
Right.
You never know. You may be back with Mahomes before your career is over. That's all I'm saying. You may have to talk to him in a locker room again. Anyway, Tyreek Hill, the cheetah does what he wants to because nobody can – Casey, even you can't guard Tyreek Hill in the open field.
No, even you. You should say definitely you and even some of the top-tier corners can't guard him.
watch out for Miami this year. Okay, NFL grab bag two. Let's go to Richard Sherman. He is joining Thursday Night Football. He's always been a transparent player. He says what is on his mind. We've seen that through the years. He's going to be a part of the pregame, halftime, and postgame shows, joining Tony Gonzalez, Al Michaels, and Kirk Herbstreit. He's leaving the option of returning to the field in play, but he does have this lined up if something doesn't present itself come training camp. Does he move the needle, Casey, for another voice in the booth of the NFL games? I personally like it. I say, hey, just make the decision now, Richard Sherman. Make yourself a game analyst. Do it to the highest bidder and be yourself. Say what is on your mind.
I completely agree. He's one of those guys that it's always, when you hear he is saying something, it's always must watch, must listen. So I am going to be, you know, very kind of dialed into what happens on Thursday Night Football. I think it's great for, you know, Amazon, they're really making this a big product, especially having him and Tony Gonzalez on pre and post game. You definitely want to watch what those two, I mean, both of them are, I mean, Tony Gonzalez, a Hall of Famer. I would say Richard Sherman is probably a potential Hall of Famer.
Sure.
So you've got very good voices who have done a lot of really good things for the game. I'm really intrigued on what Richard Sherman's going to say because, like you said, you know, he's really unfiltered. He just kind of says whatever's on his mind. So it'll be kind of fun to watch that when that all takes place without Michaels and Herbstreit.
Hey, have you heard about our very own Pat McAfee on any upcoming NFL broadcast, Amazon included? Anything going there? Because he's a lot of fun to listen to if he's calling the action.
He is. It's one of those things that I kind of see his name brought up when anything is kind of trending, but I haven't seen anything concrete. But he would definitely make... Whatever, if he does join
college
a broadcast.
College or pro, I'm watching, bro.
I'm watching. Right
if
there
McAfee's
with you.
On the horn, I'm watching. Best of luck. We'll find out what McAfee's doing with this upcoming NFL and college season. All right, that's going to wrap it up. We got a long, hot weekend in front of us. This has been The Last Word, 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan. Casey Vallier filling in for Matt Taylor, the voice of the Colts. Appreciate the time and the help, Case.
Of course, man. Had fun. Appreciate you, Gorman.
Jump in a pool, get sprayed down by a hose, do whatever you do down there. Case with the family and the kids. I mean, have them spray dad down.
It's been hot, that's for sure.
Back in. Hey, don't go anywhere. Stay inside if you can. Drink a lot of water. And coming up next on ESPN Radio, you got Spain and Fitz.